Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Reformation Day observances can lend themselves well to a theology of glory. Perhaps you have heard Reformation sermons that were in some measure emotional stem winders, calculated to build loyalty to Luther, the man, or to Lutheranism, the tradition, or to the Lutheran Church, the organization. And you, as I, might in your heart of hearts even own up to preaching that kind of Reformation sermon here or there along the way. No Reformation is either perfect or permanent. The true Lutheran Reformation was a Reformation of doctrine and practice that had become corrupted in the Roman Church. It was not a Reformation of the world, of society, or of the flesh, for these can never be reformed. The Church's task is to remit sins by proclaiming the gospel and administering the sacraments. It is not the Church's task to straighten out the world and society and the flesh, as theologians of glory imagine, nor is it even possible to do these things. The ongoing reformation of the Church is to keep its true purpose before its mind's eye. Jesus' words to Simon Peter are appropriate for Reformation Day. Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. You may recognize these words as having been spoken immediately after Jesus had instituted the Holy Supper, and perhaps even on his way to Gethsemane. The words tell you something about the ongoing reformation of the Church, why it is necessary, and where it happens. They are a great consolation to you as you contemplate the true nature of the enemy, that liar and murderer from the beginning, who unceasingly plots to kill and destroy you, both temporally in body and eternally in soul. In his Christian Questions, Luther advised the person who feels no need for the Holy Supper to thrust his hand into his bosom to see if he still has flesh and blood. The point is clear. As long as you are flesh and blood in this world, you will be assailed relentlessly and will indeed sin much and deserve nothing but punishment. We love to point out the doctrinal and moral corruption of the medieval church, or of the era of pietism, or of Gnosticism, or of any such heresy that may be more or less familiar to us. Besides these, we can also find plenty that is wrong with the church of our own time, both inside and outside of Lutheranism. But what to do about it? That's the question. From the stylites of old, who disciplined themselves by living atop pillars, to the temperance crusaders of 19th century America, history has been replete with well-meaning folks who hoped to reform the church, the society, and individual lives. They have employed law, self-denial, moral campaigns, and even on occasion military force. But it has never worked, and it never will. Such endeavors are indeed a theology of glory. That is, a theology that considers God's greatest blessings to be those of this world and this life. The devastation in Eden was so total and so terrible that the carnage of war and the destruction of earthquakes are only external symptoms of what really happened. Satan asked for Peter, as he had asked for Job, to sift him as wheat. That Peter had so beautifully confessed on another occasion, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," didn't hinder or discourage that enemy for a moment. Nor does he cease for a moment to seek your overthrow and total destruction. No, the ongoing reformation of the church doesn't happen through fleshly means. It happens through the gospel. The church must ever focus and refocus on this, that its task is to bring inward righteousness, not outward, and that this is accomplished only through the preaching of Christ, who is our propitiator and substitute. "For I say to you," Jesus said, "that this which is written must still be accomplished in me, and he was numbered with the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end." Through the fulfillment of all that the prophets had written about the promised Christ, our redemption was accomplished. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The forgiveness of sins is the church's ongoing business. The forgiveness from God himself comes to you through preaching, through holy absolution, through holy baptism, through the Holy Supper. The church ever needs, we say again, to focus and refocus on its holy task, even as each Christian needs to live a life of daily repentance. But the question still remains, if God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, why does he permit the enemy to persecute and corrupt his holy church? Why does he permit false doctrine to intrude and heresy to wreak havoc? Why does he permit Satan to sift Simon as wheat and give Satan liberty to kill, ruin, and destroy everything that God had given to faithful Job? For that matter, why did he permit the serpent even to approach the mother of all the living? But did not the Father permit Christ himself to be in all manner tempted by Satan? Is it then strange that God would permit the sifting of his saints too? It was the opinion of the church's fathers that it is really nothing more than wicked curiosity to investigate these matters. It pleased God that Adam, Job, and Peter should be tempted. And it pleased God that his church should have at hand the whole armor of God with which to turn aside the assaults of the wicked one. Be comforted by Jesus' words to Peter, which he speaks also to you. "I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Discussing the fall of our first parents in his exposition of Genesis, Luther said these words: "When we have been baptized and brought into the kingdom of Christ, God does not want us to be idle. He wants us to use his word and gifts. For this reason, he allows us weak beings to be sifted by Satan." Thus we see the church, which has been cleansed by the word, still exposed to danger. So far, Luther. Satan continues to seek your overthrow and that of Christ's whole church. He will sift you as wheat, as he does the whole church in every age. To the eye of the flesh, the church is a pitiful and wretched little band of losers. It is always under assault and ever in need of reformation. Yet, the final word is God's, through the pen of his holy apostle. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.